Now, Human Rights Watch is warning about the plight of migrant workers in Qatar. The rights group says they risk forced labor in the Persian Gulf Emirate. It also says hundreds of thousands of mostly South Asian workers are at risk of serious abuses. Workers have reported a range of problems, including unpaid wages, salary deduction, unsanitary camps and passport confiscations. The report comes as Doha prepares to host the 2022 Soccer World Cup. It's announced multi-billion dollar projects for the event. Migrant workers make up 94% of Qatar's workforce. Up to 1 million additional workers are expected in the next decade. Tell us more about the situation in Qatar. I'm joined from Washington by Ali Al-Ahmad, director of IGA. Welcome to the program. So, Mr. Al-Ahmad, we have human rights abuses reported in Qatar by Human Rights Watch. I mean, Qatar is a country that claims it is a democracy. Just how would you explain Qatar's governing system, and especially the way the government there treats migrant workers?
Number one, we have to realize that Qatar is not a democracy. It does not have a single process of democracy, meaning that Qatar does not have any single election at any level. So it is an absolute monarchy where the Al Thani control the state and all of its institutions. So the judicial system, the executive, the legislative, is all at the hand of the ruler of Qatar, Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa, and so this is a country that does not have a single shred of democracy, and it is really one of those countries that is controlled by the one man and some of his family in a very strong and very security oriented manner. There is no free press, no political parties, no independent human rights organizations, no independent civil society organization. This is a country ruled by one man and his family.
Well, let's talk about Qatar's foreign diplomacy now. I mean, how do you evaluate Qatar's role in the recent events, especially the events taking place in Syria?
Well, because this is a one family run country, it is projecting its power and influence from using Al Jazeera and its oil dollars to project its own influence in Syria and other Arab countries for its own interests or for the interest of the United States and other European countries, which Qatar is trying to become part of that world through facilitating the policies. For example, when it comes to Libya, part of the reason for the Qatari involvement in Libya and spending about $2 to $3 billion in Libya to topple Gaddafi is to be part, and they paid for the bombs that fell off on top of the Libya for a few months, and they funded this operation. So it's really part of the ruling family of Qatar to wanting to be part of the first world elites in the French, with the English and the Americans.
And how likely do you see Qatar experiencing an uprising and a revolution, what we see taking place in the Arab region?
Well, there is not a sign of uprising, but there is a sign of discontent. Let's talk about, for example, the famous, probably the most famous Qatari poet, Muhammad ibn Dhib, who has been imprisoned and sentenced and is in prison for over a year now and accused of attempting to overthrow the regime because he had recorded a few tribal Arab poems on YouTube criticizing the government of Qatar, criticizing and supporting the Arab Spring. So this is one thing that Western media has not covered, the story of Muhammad ibn Dhib, the most famous Qatari poet, who had been in prison for over a year now because of his poetry about life in Qatar and freedom in Qatar that he wants to see like I said, this is a country that every breath is counted, no discontent, no dissent is allowed. Maybe because of the small amount number of the population, we will not see a revolution, but definitely we see people who are coming against the ruling family slowly but surely.
Indeed, fair enough. We'll leave it there for the time being. Many thanks to Ali Al-Ahmad, Director of IGA from Washington.